This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound?
Back with the Fox News alert just moments ago. Vladimir Putin, you can see him there landing in Finland ahead of that high-stakes summit with President Trump.
Here on with more on what we can expect, we've got a special panel, Dan Bongino, former lead Secret Service agent for the Obama-Medvedev summit, and Rebecca Heinrichs, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and Fox News security national analyst and author of the upcoming book, Why We Fight, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Good to have all three of you. Dan Bongino, let's start with you. Going in, we have no idea what they're going to do. What are your expectations about what will happen?
Well, Steve, I think the best way to look at it is where are there potential areas of disagreement and where are there going to be significant friction points where there's likely to be no agreement at all? In the areas of agreement, obviously fighting international terrorism, there's been some successful communication between us and the Russians before in that effort, and nuclear nonproliferation. Are we going to get any kind of a consensus opinion on those issues here? Probably not, but even some kind of communique or commitment to fighting that would be interesting. On the other side, the friction points, it's highly unlikely there's going to be, I think, any agreement on Syria. The Russians' interests in there are not ours. And Steve, as well, on economic interests, as President Trump brought up with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. We want to sell gas to Europe, so do they. It's zero sum in that respect, yep. And I think those would be some significant friction points.
Yeah. Dr. Gorka, it's interesting when you watch the summit that played out with North Korea and the way that President Trump handled Kim Jong-un, the way that he charmed him, he sort of built him up, reminded him what a strong leader he is in his own way, but obviously as a negotiating tactic to get something in return. You can imagine there will be some similar charming in this meeting. What does Putin ultimately want? How does President Trump think about this in a way where he can get something in return?
Well, that's the real question. I think the comparison is with the prior 8 years. Remember that under President Obama, his presidency began with an apology tour. America was deemed to be the source of all international problems. And we actually had a policy. This is not, you know, my opinion. The Obama administration had a policy of strategic patience and leading from behind. So America withdrew internationally. And what did Putin do? He exploited that vacuum. He stepped into that vacuum in the Middle East, in Europe and elsewhere, to the detriment of the Western alliance and also to our partners in the Middle East. So now we have American leadership reasserted under Donald Trump. We have become the global player, whether it's Europe, whether it's Asia, whether it's anywhere in the world. And so Putin wants to be relevant. He wants to this is the moment where he says, okay, Russia's still here. Can I still be an international actor? So for him, it is far. This summit is much more important for Putin than it is for the president, mm-hmm. because his relevance has been undermined, and justly so, because he is a destabilizing actor in the world.
Rebecca, we know that after the Olympics, he invaded Ukraine. We know in Georgia, he went in there, never really got any retribution. He goes into Syria, no retribution. The word is that this guy only understands strength and consequences. How does the president get that across in a conversation?
Right. I would say, you know, the expectations should be low for this. There shouldn't even be an attempt for a grand bargain between Putin and Trump. What President Trump needs to do, kind of going in here, he needs to carry a message with him. And that is that the Obama administration is out. The Trump administration is in. We are not going to take a posture of capitulation towards you. Because what Putin does is when he senses ambiguity or a lack of resolve, he exploits that. He finds soft spots and he pushes. So what President Trump should do is kind of go through that laundry list of things where there are points of disagreement and explicitly state his strong position so that there is no ambiguity for Putin. Right. And because what that's going to do, it's going to foster a greater sense of trust and a greater sense of respect on the part of Putin. And that's what's going to deter conflict and preserve peace.
Back with the Fox News alert. Just a moment.
Well, they are meeting even as we speak, and all eyes on Helsinki right now to see what comes out of that. Of course, you know, the pundits give you the idea. The president made it clear. He said our relationship with Russia has never been worse, thanks to many years of U.S. foolishness and stupidity, and now the rigged witch hunt. More details coming up.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Hope you had a great weekend. It's Monday all over America. And, of course, eyes right now on Helsinki. Megan Barth is here with us, national spokesperson for MediaEqualizer.com, founder and proprietor of ReaganBabe.com. We're going to take a look at Helsinki. We're going to take a look at, the interesting comments that were made over the weekend on some of these Sunday TV shows. The highs and lows of it all very interesting to say the least. But it keeps the conversation going. Megan, how you doing?
Doing well. Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
Hey, Putin shows up a little bit late. I mean, what was he leaving room that maybe Harry and Prince Charles were going to show up suddenly, maybe fill some dead time there with the president? What happened?
Yeah, not.
Am I being a brat? I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, I got to tell you, Megan, I just am irritated by some of the people, the way they're treating, you know, Donald Trump. They have to understand that Donald Trump is a representative of all Americans, and I do not like it when they are dissing the president any more than I liked what President Obama did to Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, there is a respect that goes, I think, automatically. It is a given, you know, to some degree for the leaders of these countries and who they represent. Just saying.
Well, and, you know, the hypocrisy is on full display, especially with this meeting between Trump and Putin. And, you know, the press keeps saying, you know, especially with the NATO meeting last week and the EU, how dare you diss our allies? Well, President Trump didn't send the bust of Winston Churchill back to the Queen of England.
Mm.
That was the first thing, actually, that Obama did when he took office, was he removed the bust of Churchill and sent it back to one of our strongest allies. He also overthrew Egypt. He also meddled in the Israeli election.
Yeah,
and sent over Ben Rhodes to mess with the Netanyahu campaign in order to bolster the competition against Netanyahu. And then, as you say, when Netanyahu visited, he was also snubbed. Mm. This is how Obama treated our allies, but we never heard about it from the press. No. He could do no wrong in the eyes of the press. And especially when he was caught on a hot mic telling, I believe it was Medvedev at the time, under Obama, that, you know, after this election, he'll have more
flexibility.
More flexibility. You know, we'll transmit that back to Vladimir.
Yes.
You know, this is how Obama was dealing with our enemies, was on hot mics and doing back deals under no one's noses except his own administration, and the press never questioned him about it.
Well, this whole thing, you know, and here we are with the Russian collusion, all this stuff's going on. You and I have discussed this almost ad nauseum here, but that has let go, and that is the idea that I mean, if, and let's, and I think it's easy to assume that Putin is all about power and about strength. He had Hillary Clinton, the Obama administration, under his thumb. Okay, so this whole deal that Putin would, you know, try to influence the election so that Donald Trump would get elected is absolutely ludicrous on its face. And I agree with Donald Trump that it's a witch hunt. But that being said, I think he needs to get off it to a degree. I mean, there's been enough said about it being a witch hunt. It's, you know, people who believe it, they see it for what it is. It doesn't make sense that that Putin would want anybody but Hillary in as president. Could you imagine 8 more years of Hillary and Putin? I mean, he played with her like a cat with a bag of catnip. So why would he want Donald Trump in there, who is now, you know, giving them notice that, hey, you know what, America is going to lead in cyber. And I think the best offense or best defense against the cyber activity that the Russians did is, what is America doing? We're not hearing about how America is, you know, gaming up their system to counteract what's going on with Russia. Just say, hey, you want to play that game? You know, we'll come back. We'll double down on your pumpkin head, buddy. And, by the way, we're allocating, we're going back. You guys thought what Ronald Reagan talked about in terms of some space advantage. We'll give you the Antarctic, but we're going to take over the high heavens. Thank you very much.
Well, right. And just as, you know, Reagan was ridiculed by the press and the Democrats, he led from a position of strength. I mean, if you recall, he wasn't supposed to tell Gorbachev to tear down that wall, but he did. And guess what? He ended the Cold War without firing a shot. Mm-hmm. And then when it came to Star Wars, as the press labeled it, and they did so disparagingly, that was to protect themselves from enemies, foreign and domestic, from a position of, again, strength, whereby, you know, we had the missile capabilities in the Atmos. And then Trump wants to take it there again. To the Atmos, another Star Wars. And this is not what Putin wants. So, you know, Trump is definitely a foe of Putin, but not necessarily one that we are going to completely turn all communications off, right?
Right.
You have to have
it would be ridiculous to do so, Megan.
Right. Exactly. You have to know what your enemies are doing, and you have to keep them close.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to have a decent, open relationship with our allies, even our foes, because to isolate them or to ignore them only gives them a stronger position of strength worldwide. We saw what happened with Barack Obama when he just left open these vacuums whereby he shrunk from the world stage. He apologized for America. He bowed to dictators instead of standing up to dictators. And so this vacuum that was created in the world, well, it was filled by, it's going to be filled. Vacuums are always filled. And so under Barack Obama's reign, it was filled by dictators and despots. And
exactly.
ISIS, for example.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And this is the thing. I mean, that Putin, and let's not forget, you think Donald Trump's dealing with some, craziness back here domestically. Putin's approval rating, down 10, 12 points. The people are hungry. Their economy not doing all that well. And what can Putin do if America decides, okay, we're going to space? They can't follow us. They can't even get halfway up there. They don't have enough money to support and combat this sort of thing. So this is advantage the United States, and one that we should take quick advantage of right now and secure that. Let Putin have the Antarctic. You know, China's going after South China, which is bothersome, these areas that they are taking over and claiming and planting their flag on. That's a whole other issue. America takes and controls space, different program altogether, don't you think?
Well, absolutely, and this puts our men and women at NASA back to work, whereby, you know, NASA was shrunk down to just a meager size under Barack Obama because he funded it.
Mm-hmm.
We can use our technology, as we have in the past, to be a first in the world, and again, showing our strength from not only a technology perspective, but also a defense perspective.
Well, expectations, the president has done, I think, a great job in mediating that. and not getting carried away with a lot of hyperbole. Of course, Adam Schiff, the Democrats are besides themselves. Even Warner, I guess he wanted to be in the meeting. Like he could add something there, right?
Unbelievable.
Well, I know. Hey, if it wasn't true, it just wouldn't be so laughable. More for Megan after
this.
Most
of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month, you could fight against heart disease naturally at Heart and Body Extract? We've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
If you talk, your name will hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Send your emails direct, NSA free, to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Lord, I will run to you. You are my heart's deep place. You are my saving grace. Lord, I will run, run, run. Lord, I will run to you.
Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, Dwayne, like. is fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Megan Barth continues with us. Megan, the Sunday shows, of course, all a buzz, still buzzing over the stroke hearings. And, you know, and of course, following up on Friday, very little came out of Lisa Page and what happened there, right?
Yeah, I haven't heard much buzz around the Lisa Page interview. However, I did hear that, you know, she did, was very, you know, forthcoming and did offer some new information. But what that information is has not been divulged. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us have been paying attention of what's going on over with NATO and, of course, with Putin. But that Strzok hearing, you talk about the picture of absolute smug pomposity. Mm-hmm. And the disdain that he had towards the American people that he supposedly was swearing to protect. And I thought that Louis Gohmert's side of questioning was brilliant. And here I've seen some conservative commentators say, it was just a distraction. You know, he shouldn't have brought up his relationship with his wife. Well, of course he should have.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a testament to his character.
Exactly.
If you can lie to your wife, you'll lie to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have fidelity to the sanctity of marriage, then you certainly aren't going to have fidelity to the Constitution or to the rule of law. And it's just as taking a juror, for example, if you have a jury pool of 12 people, you want to make sure that they are not watching TV, that they are not reading the newspapers, that they are sequestered. Well, we had an FBI agent that's supposedly supposed to be objective, and not just any random FBI agent. We're mm-hmm. talking about, you know, the number two guy, the number
exactly.
one guy when it
mm-hmm.
came to a spy, that was going into Walmart and saying that he smelled Trump supporters, that we were redneck, ignorant hillbillies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you supposed to be objective if you have this animus, this outward bias, by which he tells us that that didn't, you know, infect or affect his decision-making. They really believe we're that stupid, Bill.
Yeah. Well, that's what Jonathan Gruber said, you know, that we were stupid. That's why Obamacare was written the way it was. This is the architect for Obamacare, if you remember. And that was his words. It wasn't some pundit, you know, opinionating. This is exactly what he said. You know, you had John Koskinen's arrogance on display. You had, just go down the list. I mean, Hillary Clinton, you know, what do you think? Those guys were just out for a walk one day, you know, and they decided to blow some things up. I mean, her attitude and arrogance. I mean, it's all right there in the elites of Washington, D.C., this echo chamber that thinks that they know better than everybody else, that they've abandoned the whole idea of the Constitution of it being about we the people. But no, they want to go ahead and submit their will upon the people. And they want judges in place to where if there is a problem, they can run to a judge and vacate votes like they did in California. 8 million votes, they evaporated with the stroke of one pen from an activist judge. And somehow that is good for America. How is that?
Well, that's the progressive ideal of America, because they want to fundamentally transform America. The left has never really loved America. I mean, perhaps back in the Kennedy days, right?
Right.
But the modern left, which has been overtaken by the socialists and Marxists like Tom Perez and Cortez and Sanders and de Blasio, you know, that's what that is the future of the Democrat Party. That is what Tom Perez, the head of the DNC, says socialism is the future of the Democrat Party. Well, when someone shows you what they are, believe them.
Exactly.
You have Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's telling an Egyptian TV station that she wouldn't recommend using the Constitution as a template for any sort of new type of document that a country wants to create. Well, obviously, she finds the Constitution inherently flawed, and yet she's been sitting on the Supreme Court for how long? Way
right.
too long.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the progressives for you. They do not like this country. You can't love something you want to fundamentally transform, and that is what Barack Obama promised us, and that is what we witnessed for the last 8 years.
But my question is, though, help me understand, transform to what?
Yeah,
what are we transforming
question.
To?
Well, you know, I asked that same question. I was watching that speech, and I jumped off my couch, and I screamed at the TV like he was going to hear me. What do you want to fundamentally transform it to?
Exactly.
What is so inherently wrong with this country that it needs not just a transformation, a fundamental
right
transformation?
Let's abandon the realities and the empirical evidence of all the exceptional things that we have done from day one of our founding and forward. How are we claiming any kind of perfection? No. We're not claiming any perfection here, but look at all the great and exceptional things that have been put together by this melting pot of immigrants from who have come with this idea, who have pursued the concept of freedom, you know, the freedom to be all that they could be and to exercise their God-given rights. And look at the America today in the 21st century. But no, let's abandon those. Let's kick out all the statues. Let's do all this stuff. It's kind of, and of course, this is all being mobilized by, you say, by a very prejudicial group that wants to pick and choose the statues that they want to kick out. But meanwhile, we're going to celebrate Margaret Sanger and make sure that, you know, her trophies and everything else are exalted. And Margaret Sanger and her ilk have clearly been responsible for the murder of over 60 million babies. Sorry to say.
Right. And the only way you can fundamentally transform a country is to really fundamentally transform it through the courts, whereby you do have...
Well, and it's history. You obliterate its history, and then you start chipping away. That's what they've done.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, you fundamentally transform it through the courts, and then you basically just remove all of its history, or you just write so you can write a new history.
Yeah. And Hillary Clinton says, hey, I thought we were going back to the 1950s. Now we're going back to the 1850s. Oh, brilliant. Come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, suppose when I was going to bring back slavery. So I had said, you know, newsflash, Kavanaugh is a Democrat because that is the party of slavery.
Right.
And so what, is he a Democrat now? He wants to bring it back? You know, and that's the thing is, the Democrats do not want to point towards history. They want to tear it down, because if they pointed towards history and if they were scholars of history, they would have a lot of explaining to do of how they were the party of the KKK. They were the party of Robert Byrd, the Grand Kleagle, who Bill Clinton gave a eulogy for and said, well, he needed to do what he needed to do at the time to get elected. Oh, so he needs to be a Grand Kleagle in the KKK to get elected as a Democrat? Well, thank you. Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, let's change everything else, but we're going to hold on to that one, right?
Right, right. And so, you know, this is just your typical hypocrisy of the Democrats. This is why they always use forward as a campaign slogan, because they don't want to look backward at their own history. They must go forward. There's a lot.
Yeah, but again, forward to what? Forward to what, Megan? Like you were saying.
Well, right, but yeah, have you noticed that, you know, they always say there's always more work to do? It doesn't matter how many rights they create, or that we've come a long way, whether it's with gay marriage or gay rights or LGBTQ or whatever it is. They got Obamacare passed without a single Republican vote. There's still more work to do. There's always more work to do with the Democrats, and they can never tell us exactly where we're going.
Mm. Well, Megan, again, as always, we appreciate the insight as you stay on top of things. Megan has had a rough day of flying, and she's in New York for some press conferences there and appointments that she's attending to. And we appreciate, Megan, you giving us the time. Remind everybody how they can be in touch with you.
ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com. On Facebook, you can find us there as well.
Well, congratulations on all the great work, by the way, that you're doing with Media Equalizer. And I know that you've got a meeting with Judge Jeanine, nice little press conference that you're going to be doing with her. And, of course, we get a chance to talk to her on Friday. Looking forward to that as well.
Very good. Thank you so much, Bill.
All right. Take care, Megan. Megan Barth, I'm Bill Martinez live. It's 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Technology is changing the car buying process, as many now start their search online. In fact, a recent survey found that 44% of consumers are comfortable shopping for a car via the internet. If you're planning to buy a car this summer, consider exploring digital tools designed to improve your car buying experience. Bank of America's mobile car shopping tool makes shopping for and financing a car easier and more efficient, so you can spend more time enjoying the summer. John Schleck for Bank of America.
Car shoppers can now seamlessly integrate their shopping and financing experience all in one place, either on the go or in the comfort of their own homes. Using the mobile car shopping tool, our clients can actually select new or used cars, all from participating dealers, estimate a monthly payment, and even apply for a Bank of America car loan on the specific car they're looking at, all prior to their dealer visit.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump and the Russian President Vladimir Putin currently holding talks behind closed doors in Helsinki, Finland, with only translators present. President Trump addressing the media briefly with Putin at his side before they headed into the private one-on-one meeting.
I think we have great opportunities together as two countries that, frankly, we have not been getting along very well for the last number of years. I've been here not too long, but it's getting close to 2 years, but I think we will end up having an extraordinary relationship.
After the one-on-one, there are to be additional talks involving advisors and staffers from both sides as well. And also, there's a report there'll be a joint news conference after the two leaders meet, although other reports say the two will address the media but may not take questions. This is USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How do you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star, and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want?
The America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, over the weekend, Trey Gowdy had made the statement that he doesn't think the Mueller probe is a witch hunt. To counter, you know, President Trump's insistence that it is a witch hunt. I mean, basically, that statement, the way I look at it, has become the president's shield to deflect against this ongoing battle and insinuation that somehow the Trump administration is illegitimate. That's what this is all about. I mean, when you hear him talk about it, it's, we have to settle this. You would think after all this time that we could settle whether or not, what's the bottom line with the Russians' involvement? Okay, they meddled. I mean, we have, experts saying they didn't change one vote, but we still can't accept that. We still keep on going. And, the Dems are riding that as far as they can go to, again, question the legitimacy of the president. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's overseas right now having to deal with, whether it's NATO, our other allies, and in dealing with Theresa May and her issues with Brexit. And, of course, right now in Helsinki with the president of Russia himself, Vladimir Putin. With us right now is Dr. Michael Buzler. It's good to have Michael with us. Michael is a public policy analyst, economics expert, and a professor of finance at Stockton University in New Jersey. Dr. Buzler, welcome to Bill Martinez. Always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, let's talk about update us on what's happening with, the trade wars that everybody is so concerned about. Where are we now on this?
Yeah, so And I think I've talked about this on your show before, but basically, President Trump is really for free trade and fair trade. Yes. And why is that? Very simply, free trade ends up benefiting everyone. As a quick example, the U.S. is very good at and very efficient at growing wheat. We're not very good at growing products like coffee. We don't have the right climate. We'd have to use a lot of people to do it. We wouldn't get much coffee output. Colombia or some other country in South America, for instance, they're very good at growing coffee. They can use a small amount of resources, get a lot of coffee. They're not so good at growing wheat. Don't have a climate for it. So what happens? The U.S. grows the wheat when they get a lot of wheat. The Colombians grow the coffee. They get a lot of coffee. And then we trade, and you end up with both countries being better off. So
win-win, yes.
Right. So President Trump's goal would be to have free trade with no tariffs at all. Now, when Trump got into office, and even before, he took a look at the trade agreements that the U.S. has, and for whatever reason, they are lopsided against the U.S. and in favor of our trading partners. As an example, with the European Union, they make a car in Germany or France and sell it over here. We charge a 2.5% tariff. Americans make a car and sell it in Europe, they charge a 10% tariff. So the result is we're buying a lot of their products. They're not buying much of ours. We have a negative trade imbalance, which means hundreds of billions, not millions, billions of dollars are flowing out of the country annually. Mm-hmm. President Trump is not a politician. He's a business person. Exactly. A politician would talk to the other side, convene a summit, go back and talk, come back next year, realize this is difficult, kick the can down the road to the next president. Trump is a business person. A business person sees a problem, confronts the problem, looks at the options, picks the best one, and implements it as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So what President Trump is trying to do, as any business person would do, when you have a reluctant trade opponent, you create a sense of urgency. So he's putting these tariffs on, and they're designed, they're going to end up hurting our trading partners far more than they're going to hurt us. After a few months of this, the trading partners will realize that, hey, we've got to come to the table and come up with a deal with the U.S. that's fair now.
Exactly.
In Canada, at the G7, Trudeau sort of agreed to this. Mm-hmm. Then he went back and talked to his constituents, and the dairy industry said, wait a minute, you can't do that. The Americans are so efficient at producing dairy products that you have to put, the Canadians have to put a 270% tariff, which means something that should cost a dollar is now costing $3.70. They need those large tariffs so that the Canadian manufacturer, the dairy producers can compete. And then Trudeau completely changed his mind and said, okay, I'll side with you rather than Trump.
But well, there's
Trump
a little
is trying to bring him to the table. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a little bit of a curve. You and I discussed this before.
Yes.
And there's a little bit of a curve that's going to go through as we get through what I call grief to happiness ratio here. The yep. grief is yep. where we are right now. Happiness is when everything is win-win. Okay, to get there, what are we going to do? So let's use case in point as you bring up Canada and the dairy situation there. Now, is this going to cause Canada to up their game and be more efficient? I think so. I think with these other nations, they have an opportunity because if it's a level playing field and it's competitive, hey, look, we want it to be win-win. We want great coffee beans. So is there anything that we can do to help that process and make it win-win? I think that this opens the door to this. And as you say, Donald Trump, as a businessman, looks at it this way. In some regards, Michael, I look at Donald Trump as almost like a Chapter 11 attorney. You know, when businesses go into Chapter 11, you get somebody who's on the outside. You know, he doesn't care that Aunt Betsy is part of the family, but Aunt Betsy is a pain in the back end, and she needs to be reassigned. That she's a problem in the company. So those things are easy decisions, in a sense, for the outside, where the inside it is not. See, and what has happened over the years is these tariffs have become, on a grand scale, entitlements to the international community, have they not?
That's exactly right. And a good analogy might be if we're playing a baseball game and we're playing against Canada, we get 3 outs per inning, but for whatever reason, when they signed NAFTA, they gave Canada and Mexico 4 outs per inning, figuring, right, oh, we're trying to help our trading partners, et cetera. Well, After 3 or 4 or 5 years go by, the U.S. says, hey, we're losing every ball game. So the U.S. says to Canada, we're not giving you 4 outs anymore. You get 3 outs just like everybody else, and they're up in arms. And you're also correct, I believe, in that in the long term, this will force everybody to become more efficient.
Exactly.
And that's what global competition is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. More efficient means you'll get more output from the same amount of input that improves the standard of living of both partners. Mm-hmm. So there will be a little bit of pain, and President Trump tried to put the tariffs where they cause the least amount of pain, steel and aluminum, for instance, which are intermediate goods, mm-hmm. goods to make, used to make other goods, not final products. So if the price of steel goes up 25% and there's only 10% steel in a car, the car is only going to go up in price 2 or 3%. Mm-hmm. Secondly, if the price is too high after the tariff, U.S. has the ability to make their own steel.
Exactly.
So he put it on products that we can handle it. China put it on finished goods, like food, which will mean that their consumers will feel the whole thing, and they don't have the ability and the climate to make the amount of food they need for their people. So I think we're in a good strategic position. There will be a little bit of pain in the short run. In the long run, I'm very optimistic.
Michael, why are these, I asked this question, it's almost rhetorical, so forgive me. These knucklehead politicians, you know, they're looking a gift horse in the mouth and trying to argue every point against this president. I mean, they don't even realize what team they're on. I mean, did they not look in the mirror and see
horrible.
That their jersey says USA?
Their primary priority is to get their party back in power. It doesn't matter how they do that. Doesn't matter what policies they have to oppose, even policies that are good for America, because their primary goal is to get the Democrats back in power. President Trump's primary goal is to solve the problem. Frankly, he doesn't really care necessarily whether it's a Democratic solution or a Republican solution, as long as there's a solution that benefits the majority of the people. He puts the country first, and he's been emphasizing that from day one. The party then is second. The Democrats have it the other way around.
Like we say here, it's not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. It's a we thing. It's about
America,
without a doubt. Dr. Michael Bussler is with us, and our conversation with him continues. We're going to talk oil and online sales taxes next. Stay with us.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Send your emails direct, NSA free, to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
You know, we'd love to hear from you, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Good, bad, or indifferent, your opinion does count here. It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and we're speaking with our public policy analyst, economics expert, and professor of finance at Stockton University in New Jersey. Dr. Michael Bussler is with us. Michael, I've been wanting to talk to you about this particularly for quite a while. We're going to talk oil in a moment. But the buzz is increasing about online sales tax. It's one of those things that's just sitting on the horizon. What's going on?
Well, so here's the thing. So online retailers who already have an advantage over bricks and mortar in that they don't have the stores that they have to build, et cetera. So they already have an advantage. And in almost all states, I think 43 states out of the 50 have a sales tax. They don't have to pay sales tax in almost all of them, which gives them an even greater advantage. So the bricks and mortar stores are hurting because purchasing patterns are changing, and hurting even more because they have to collect sales tax towards the consumer, where online doesn't. So all this is doing, I think, is evening the playing field.
Yeah, we're back to that again, right? We got a fair, you know, fair trade, free trade, same thing on online as well, right?
Same kind of thing. Let everybody play by the same rules. That's the way competition is supposed to work. As long as we all play by the same rules, then it'll be ingenuity and American innovation that'll keep the playing field level and move the economy forward. So I think all the sales tax does is level the playing field for already hurting bricks and mortar stores.
Yeah, I never quite understood, you know, this was a wild frontier, so to speak, when online sales and marketing came about. I never quite understood why they, you know, let it go free for a while, because at some point where we are right now is you got to deal with it, just like we're doing on an international level and saying, okay, you know, entitlement is over. You've got to run for it. You know, basically what happened is we, the people, invested in your R&D to prove that this idea could work, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we did it in the form by saying, hey, you're not gonna, you've been tax free. So now it's time to pony up.
Right. They just never came up with a tax policy. The online retailers say, well, look, we're located in Washington State. We can't collect sales tax for something we sell in Pennsylvania. So they just never did anything about it and sort of let it go until finally it got to the point where the online retailers now are so large and they're selling billions of dollars worth of goods that the states are losing out on tax revenue, and it's putting the bricks and mortar at such a disadvantage that now we've got to level the playing field. So I think this is just fair.
I do, too. I agree. How do they do this? Do they, I mean, to keep it from being an administrative nightmare? I mean, because if you're a national company, I mean, you got to sit there and say, okay, well, somehow we're going to have to work out some sort of software system that automatically accounts, well, you're from New Jersey, so the New Jersey tax applies, and then that goes to New Jersey. Or is it just some sort of, you know, one price takes all and divvied out equally among the 50 states?
No, I think they're going to have to keep track. It's not that difficult. Everything that they sell, they ship, mm-hmm. and they know where they ship it to.
Exactly.
So they can easily keep track of how much they ship to New Jersey, and they have to collect the 7% sales tax. How much they ship to Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania, they collect the 6% sales tax. So it'll be a little bit of an administrative job for them. I don't think it'll be a nightmare. And again, they've been getting along, getting a break now. The internet was, you know, really popular starting in the mid to late 90s. So it's been 20 years they've been getting a break. And, you know, as you said, now it's time to pony up.
Yeah. How much money are we talking about here, Michael?
Hundreds of billions of dollars in sales, and whatever the tax rate is, 6-7%, whatever it is in each state, to each state, it's could be hundreds of at least millions of dollars. And practically every state is having a problem balancing the state budget. So this will be a source of revenue. Look, I'm a free market economist. As soon as you say you're going to tax something, my stomach turns a little bit.
I'm with you.
In this case, since we already have the taxes in place, I think it's always fair that we level the playing field there.
Well, again, that's where we the people need to make sure that we've got elected officials in there doing our proper bidding. I mean, basically, there's going to be a bit of a windfall here for them. So what are they going to do? Are they going to utilize that money and be wise stewards of it? Or are they going to do what they've typically have done, have just found some dark hole for it to go into, and you wonder, you go, okay, what am I doing? Am I, you know, becoming codependent for their irresponsibility?
And you're right. The key is the American people. Make sure that when you cast your votes for elected officials, that you vote for people who say that they're going to stay on top of this and treat it properly and take the revenue and use it to pay down some debt or to reduce any budget deficits they have, and not use the money to increase government spending.
Exactly.
You're right. It's up to the voters to watch out for that.
Yeah, don't tell me you're going to dump it into schools, because we already did that. We've gone through that routine with, you know, all the lottery, right? So when does this go? When are you thinking this is going to go into effect?
I think the beginning of 2019 is what they're shooting for.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think that's unreasonable, but I also agree with your admonition that we the people should hold our officials, our state officials, you know, accountable to this money and this windfall that's going to be coming their way, as you say. And I'm for, hey, look at, buy down that deficit, get that deficit out of here. We've been dragging our states along with this deficit, not to even mention what we're doing on a, on a federal level, you know, at 21 trillion counting. I mean, this is disgusting. That thing, every time I see those numbers flipping, you know, like that, it just, gives me the heebie-jeebies. I'm thinking, you know, what are we doing here? You know, so it's about time we look at it. All right, let's talk. Let's talk oil. You know, we hear all the signs that America's very bullish on oil. You know, OPEC has decided they want to open up, you know, some more outlets and give us some more more oil and more output. But you know, so what's happening with our future in terms of you know, the vision that America could be not only energy independent, but energy dominant, to where we are a dominant selling force on the world stage when it comes to oil.
So prior to 1974, America was the world's largest producer of oil. Then Russia went ahead of us. Saudi Arabia went ahead of us. We concentrated more on environmental issues. And every time we did that, it meant there was less chance to produce more oil. So now we fell behind. By the late 70s, where there was oil shortages, OPEC held back some. There were long lines to get gasoline. So Trump has reversed that. And because of the new technologies that U.S. manufacturers have, and because Trump has taken off the burdensome and counterproductive regulations, U.S. oil production is starting to go up. We're very close to becoming the number one producer of oil again, going ahead of both Russia and Saudi Arabia. That will allow us to primarily produce all of our needs and allow us to export. President Trump brought it up to Angela Merkel, who said we have to be tough against Russia.
I am spitting nickels over that. I got to tell you, Michael, that just drives me nuts that Angela Merkel, and I believe it drives the rest of the NATO nations and allies sitting there going, oh, you know, we didn't know how to tell her. Thank God, you know, Trump came here and, you know, called her out for that.
Absolutely. So she wants to be tough on Russia, and then she's going to send hundreds of billions of dollars to Russia every year and become dependent on the Russians for energy for their economy. That puts them in a terrible political position. So Trump said, look, we have a lot of natural gas. We have a very efficient process that liquefies it. Once it's liquefied, makes it easy to ship over to anywhere. And then when it gets there, you can heat it back up again, and it turns into natural gas. So we're not going to supply everything Germany needs, but you can supply a big chunk so they're less reliant on Russia. So the U.S. has a tremendous amount of untapped reserves in oil and natural gas, and President Trump is giving them the environment where they're free to go ahead and find it. It will make the country stronger, and on a national international basis, I think it will contribute more to world, less world conflict.
Exactly. The political leverage that it gives the United States is it's unprecedented, is it not?
Yes, it's true. It's going to give us more political leverage than we've maybe ever had. And once you take the burden off of Germany that they don't have to rely on the Russians anymore, now Germany can take a more objective view of Russian misdeeds and some of their aggression without fear of having the Russians cut off their energy supply and plunge them into a severe recession. They are the strongest economy in Europe. They want to stay that way. Being dependent on Russia is not the way to do it for energy needs.
Well, and that whole situation with the former chancellor in the middle of that deal, that is ridiculous. I mean, it smacks of a Clinton Foundation scheme, you know, and corruption.
Exactly
You're exactly right. I agree with you. But, yeah, I mean, so they've got to be able to overcome that. There's no doubt that that is all part and parcel to this whole program. And I don't know how Angela Merkel can sit there with a straight face and on one hand agree to sanctions against Russia and on the next hand, you know, help them out the back door. I mean, you're counterproductive, right?
Absolutely. They're losing all the leverage that they have. They won't be able to really voice any strong objections against Russia because they have the threat of cutting off their energy supply. And again, that'll plunge them into a severe recession, something obviously they don't want to happen.
Do you think that's a 2-second conversation in Helsinki, maybe?
Maybe a tad longer, but yeah.
Well, just touch on it. With all the things that we've got to talk about. Oh, yeah, by the way, that little meddling thing that you're doing, you know, it's like I'd like Trump to say, well, get ready. We're going to fire a salvo over your boat. You want to see meddling? We've got some geniuses here in this country that really know how to meddling. We've defined meddling. Dr. Michael Bussler on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
Anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma. Your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
This is Jessica Armand.